desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and this is Finding God in Prison. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to take a moment to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for having me back on the air, and also for Frank Eliason for producing our show. And as we begin the month of May tomorrow, our show is dedicated to our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of Jesus, our Eternal Mother. And remember, my friends, at the top of the cross, one of the great messages our Lord gave to us is that, son, behold your mother. And this is where our Lord gives us our Blessed Mother Mary as our Eternal Mother. And truly, she has changed my life. And so today we honor our Blessed Mother Mary, and as we prepare for the month of May, we acknowledge the great gift of life and the gift of motherhood, which is the producer of life. And I truly believe that we need to place the gift of motherhood up on a pedestal to honor and to protect and to defend, something so important, because the gift of life, which comes from the gift of motherhood, is so powerful. And if we didn't have the gift of motherhood anymore, my friends, all life would end within 100 years, and the world would be changed forever. And so we just acknowledge that the Lord has given us the great gift of motherhood, the producer of life. And as we begin the month of May, once again, we honor our Blessed Mother Mary, our Eternal Mother, for so many things. She was there for our Lord in His life, in His death, and through the resurrection, and for all that she did for her Son, Jesus, in His life, and in His death, and through the resurrection. We just say thank you to our Blessed Mother for just her saying yes to the Father's plan for salvation. And with her, yes, we have access to, eternal life through her Son, Jesus. And remember, the Lord says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And so through Our Lady, we are able to have access to the Lord and to the Father and to eternal life. And many people believe that, we give too much credit to our Blessed Mother Mary, but truly in the Gospel of Luke, it's very clear that, that Our Lady said yes to the Father's plan when the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that she was to bear a son and his name would be Jesus. And Our Lady, being the humble servant of the Lord, says yes. And with that, scripturally, we can see that Our Lady was part of the Father's eternal plan for salvation. And so, again, we say thank you to our Blessed Mother Mary. And with that, I'd like to just open the show with a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for this opportunity to come together as your sons and daughters, for we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for your blessings, for your graces, and for your presence in our lives, for without you, we are nothing. Father God, we thank you for our Blessed Mother Mary, who has done so much for our Lord and was so obedient to you as the Father of all mankind. We thank you for giving us our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask that you guide us and direct us to honor her as the Mother of Jesus, and that we do all that we can, Lord, to emulate her as a servant of the Lord. And we ask this through the intercession of our Holy Family and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so as we begin our show once again, this is the month of May coming up starting tomorrow. It is a special month, and I want to highlight the fact again that we are dedicating our show to our Blessed Mother. And not everybody has a relationship with Mary, and for different reasons. And so I want to share with you a story that took place about 20 years ago on a Redemptorist retreat. And, you know, in my own journey, I've had some unique experiences with our Lord and our Blessed Mother that are unique to my own story, my own journey. And while I was on the actual retreat, I had an interview with one of the brothers, and I had given testimony to several men the night before, and the Lord really worked on my heart to share my story openly and honestly, to try to have an impact on the lives, on the hearts and minds of the young men who were there that day. And so with that, you know, in sharing my story, the Lord had truly blessed me with some spiritual dreams of the Blessed Mother and the Lord. And I shared, you know, my entire story, how God took me out of aviation as a pilot and brought me into working for Him. And I'll just tell you that, you know, in 1999, when I did leave corporate America, I said to people who asked me, why did you leave? I said, well, I've given, you know, many years of service to corporate America. No longer will I have to work for an unethical or immoral CEO. I now work for the Lord and His Father in my Father's vineyard. And that was in January of 1999. And truly, things were coming to a pinnacle for me in November 1998. While I was on pilgrimage to one of the apparition sites for our Blessed Mother. But as I made the transition and moved into the Lord's work, you know, many things had happened, and God truly designed the path for me to take, which was very unique. And things happened that I could not explain. I like to call them small miracles or God incidences. And with that, you know, God opened many doors. And so, while I was on this Redemptorist retreat with a good friend of mine who was Jim Beelan, who I actually met for the first time on that retreat, basically I gave testimony to the young men. And while I was on the interview with the brother, you know, talking about the actual Redemptorists and the religious order, he said, you know, Joe, it was, if there's one thing I could give to you, one piece of advice I would say to you is to, you know, stop talking about those spiritual dreams of the Blessed Mother and the Lord. And so, you know, I said to him, I said, Father, I said, brother, with all due respect, I said, you know, we've been talking now for about 30 minutes, and I've just given you 10 ministries that I've been involved with over the last so many years. And I said, I don't go around talking about things like I had a dream of the Blessed Mother on a street corner, I said. And I've been given testimony and truly, you know, conversion stories in corporate America, as well as in church settings and on pilgrimages. And I said, we're here on a retreat. If I can't tell my story here on a retreat, where can I tell my story? And I was, you know, at a point where, you know, we were really speechless. And so we continued the interview, and then shortly thereafter we went to the cafeteria for lunch. And while we were having lunch, I actually sat at one table, and this brother was at a different table. But a nun who was a nun for 18 years, who I met the night before, came up to me and sat across from me having lunch. And she said to me, may I sit at your table? I said, of course, sister. And she said, you know, I heard that you had a spiritual dream of the Blessed Mother. Will you tell me your story? And this is about 5 minutes after the brother had told me not to tell that story any longer. And so I said to her, I said, well, sister, I said, of course I'll tell you my story. I said, you're a nun. How long are you a nun? She said, 18 years. I said, you're a nun 18 years, and you don't know the Blessed Mother the way I know her? She's changed my life. She introduced me to her son. And through Mary, that's what Mary does. She brings us closer to Jesus. And so she prepared me to really go to the Lord. And with that, I was amazed because this young woman who was in her late 30s was a nun 18 years, and she didn't know the Blessed Mother the way I knew her. So I told her my story. And when we were done, 45 minutes later, she said to me, I want what you have. And that zeal and enthusiasm for the Lord and the Blessed Mother. And, you know, I found it very interesting that she didn't know the Blessed Mother as well as I did. And she said to me sincerely, she said, I really don't have a relationship with Mary. And I always wanted one. I said, well, let me ask you a question. What was your relationship like with your own mother growing up? And it was there that I found the answer to the reason why she didn't have a relationship with the Blessed Mother. She wasn't close to her own mother at all. Because as children grow up, they fight for independence and sometimes they go separate ways. And she had kind of parted ways and wasn't very close with her mother, her biological mother. And she was very distant. And so with that, we kind of found the answer. And she said to me, will you pray for me? And I said, of course, sister, I'll pray for you because I want you to have what I have is that zeal and enthusiasm, that spark that drives me to do what we do for the last 20 years, which is to bring the love of God into hearts and minds of other people. And our Blessed Mother Mary helps us to do it because all she does is bring people closer to Jesus. Which is a beautiful thing. Her whole life was dedicated to seeing the Lord through the ministry work that he had to do, through his passion, death, and resurrection. Our Lady was there, and it's powerful. And many years ago, I was doing a talk down in Center City, Philadelphia, and I had a large picture of our Blessed Mother on an easel down there, 24 by 36. It was a beautiful picture. And while I was standing there with some other people who were activists in the family life movement from Warminster and from South Philly, and a man came passing by this picture, and he started speaking in a loud voice to me, and he said this, why are you leading people to someone other than Jesus? And I said to him, whoa. I said, what is your name? And I introduced myself. I said, you know, I said, the Blessed Mother Mary does one thing. She brings us closer to the Lord. We honor Mary. We don't treat her like Jesus, but we honor her because she is the mother of Jesus. We give her great respect and honor, but she was human and she was part of the Father's plan. And I went through the Gospel of Luke scripturally with him to explain why we do that and why Mary has such a prominent position within the church. And we went through it. And when we were done, we got to the point where, you know, we could at least have the commonality of Jesus, and only the Holy Spirit can win this man over. But again, why are you leading people to someone other than Jesus? Which is not what we were doing. All our Blessed Mother does is bring people closer to the Lord. And that's the illusion, the misnomer that people have about the Catholics. And so that was a powerful witness for me down by City Hall in preparation for a talk for Rick Santorum, who was at the time, I believe, a U.S. Senator. And I'll just tell you that, It opened my eyes as to the opportunities that come along periodically for us to witness for the Lord. And in this case, we're witnessing in honor of the Blessed Mother, and to basically, you know, show him that we get closer to Jesus through Mary. And that's exactly what happened to me in my own life, so I know it to be true. I want to also tell you again that, my friends, this is the month of May, and motherhood, as I said earlier, it's one of the great gifts that we have. And I want to just thank all of our mothers out there who do a tremendous job of taking care of their children. And I want to highlight my mother-in-law, actually, who has 9 children in Mexico, who raised 9 children and who did it, you know, in a very unique way. And God blessed her because of her faith and took care of her. And today she's about 85 years old, raised 9 children, has many grandchildren and some great-grandchildren. But what a beautiful heart my mother-in-law has, my wife Marej's mom. And to raise 9 kids is a special gift. You really have to be a strong person. And today we'll be talking about motherhood and the gift of life and the things that come with it as we go through the program. Also, I want to take a moment to thank our listening audience for all their support, for all the donors out there who support Holy Spirit Radio. We appreciate your gifts. We appreciate your prayers and support. And, you know, we are an affiliate station of EWTN, but we receive no financial compensation from EWTN. And so we appreciate anything you can do to help us out. Again, at Holy Spirit Radio, we are totally listener-supported. And again, if you just tuned in, my name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Okay, very good. I want to take us this afternoon now into our first reading, which comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 31. And this is the fifth Sunday of Easter coming up on May 2nd. And, you know, we are moving into the fifth month of the year, my friends. So, you know, here it is from the book of Acts. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles. And he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenistics, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our first reading, my friends, from the book of Acts, this is a powerful statement because we're talking about St. Paul and how the apostles felt about Paul. And actually, they were afraid of Paul because of his past. And although he made changes, they didn't believe it. They truly weren't comfortable. They were uncomfortable being in his presence. And so when you and I make changes, and you embrace the attributes of Jesus Christ, you become a new person. The old person is not here anymore. The old habits are gone. The new person is in front of your friends and family. They still may not believe it. They may not trust you. And it will take time. There may be division. And this is what happened between Paul and the apostles. And this is a powerful example of what happens when we do take on a new personality, a new persona. When we embrace the Lord's way of doing things and get rid of the old. And I want to share with you a story about a guy who was at the House of Corrections, Dennis, who was with us in the Wings program, who graduated, who became a very spiritual person, is probably about 50 years old. And we were preparing for him to come home. And while we were preparing for him to come home, we were also preparing for court. And I went to court, and we had Judge Coleman as the court judge that we were to see that day. And I got into the witness stand and spoke on behalf of the Wings program and also Mr. Dennis, and explained to the judge all about his performance in the Wings program and the fact that he did all of his writing assignments. He was a great brother in the room for and a great mentor for other men. And he also completed all sessions in the Wings program, which was a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program. And I explained to the judge everything that we offered in the Wings program to help men to change their life, to make changes. And the judge really appreciated that and paid us some compliments and wanted to use the Wings program for other men. And when we were done, I stepped down, and the district attorney who was there that day said, "You know, Judge, this is a great program, the Wings program. It really is. But this guy, Mr. Dennis, has a background going back to 1988, and he has basically performed many burglaries. And every time he comes home, he does another burglary. He goes away to jail, comes home, and burglarizes another home." And he took us through about 20 years of burglaries, and maybe more than that. And so as we went through it, the district attorney said this. He said, "Again, Judge, this is a good program, but this gentleman is eligible for another strike," which meant that he's eligible for 10 to 20 years. And that's exactly what he got. Although he had made changes in his habits, his phraseology, his vocabulary, and everything that he was planning to do when he came home, his objectives were different. Although he made those changes and was God-centered, he still had to pay the consequences for his actions. And not everybody in the courtroom, including the prosecutor, the district attorney, believed him. They really didn't. So he served more time. Well, I want you to know that this week, Mr. Dennis called me, and he's preparing to come home. Now, it's been about 7 years since he's been away. And he is preparing to come home, and we're going to bring him on the radio when he does come home to tell the story himself, but also to tell you what he's about to do as he's home, because he does have a CDL license from the past, and he is eligible for jobs in the trucking industry. He will be moving into his daughter's home temporarily to get stabilized after being incarcerated for many years. And I just tell you this, my friends, because although the gentleman is away for many years, when he comes home, we still provide him with the support that God calls us to give him in the Wings program. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to bring him on as a guest in the Finding God in Prison show right here on Holy Spirit Radio. So look forward to that. But again, you know, as the reading tells us that in the book of Acts, that, you know, the apostles were afraid of Paul. They didn't believe Paul, although he told them that he had seen the Lord, talked to the Lord, and he had given witness for the Lord in a very strong and positive way in the name of Jesus. And so we know in retrospect that St. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, became a warrior for Jesus. He is just a tremendous example of what conversion can do to the heart of a man, to the mind of a man. And with that, you know, I love people who are converted or reverts, which I call myself truly, you know, a revert myself, but he's an inspiration. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because people in your own family won't believe who you are today because they know your track record. They know your past. They're just waiting for the shoe to drop. But you and I, my friends, we're going to prove those people wrong. Okay, we respect them. We always respect them. Okay, and we want to be honest, sincere, and respectful with them. But we want to prove them wrong. There is no shoe to drop. We're now walking with the Lord. We have a new life in Christ. And this is powerful. But be prepared for those moments, my friends. And, you know, the people who are challenged with addiction and incarceration, they know it best that their families have walked away. Their families have truly developed a judgment on them, almost a life sentence, until, you know, they have proved them wrong. And that's what we try to do. We try to help our men to make changes and to get rid of the past and move forward into the future with a new life in Christ, a new way of doing things. And so I want to interject with a little poem here, because you're going to run into people who are difficult and don't believe who you are today because of certain things. Even though you've made changes, have come along with Jesus, they're not on board with you yet. They don't trust you yet. But here's what the poem says. This is called Do It Anyway. And it was hanging over the desk of Mother Teresa. And here it is. Do it anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of having selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you win false, unfaithful friends. And some genuine enemies succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. So again, my friends, you know, do it anyway, because in life you're going to run into people who are, you know, either jealous or envious of your success or whatever it is you're doing. They're fault finders. They're trying to find fault rather than help you with the project that you're presently working on, whatever it is that you're doing. And I encourage you to do it anyway when you run into those people. And you never know where they're going to be. They can be in your family, in your office place. They can be in the church. But God calls us to, you know, celebrate the victories, okay? And to give people credit for the good that they do. Let's not be fault finders, but let's find the good in other people and be similar to the Lord himself. I want to move into our second reading, my friends, which is from 1 John 3, verses 18 to 24. And again, this is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and here it is. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now, this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second reading, my friends, we have some tremendous scripture here. And the first one I want to just introduce is that the reading talks about that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. So there's nothing that we can keep secret from God. He knows us inside and out. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. So this is why I encourage you to truly get to know the Lord genuinely as a child of faith. And that's what God calls us to, the faith of a child. No one can come to the kingdom of heaven unless he has the faith of a child. Because again, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. So whatever it is that is your heart's desire, I encourage you to take it to the Lord. Whatever is that is within you, whatever fears or anxieties that are in your heart, your mind, take it to the Lord. Whatever you're reluctant to do because you're afraid to do it, God will take it away from you. And again, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. The scriptural verses also go on to say this: beloved, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So this is important, my friends, because we pray many times for things and we ask God for things. And again, the verse says, if our hearts don't condemn us. So if our heart is condemning us because what we're going to do or we've done is a bad thing, we're in a bad position here. Okay. But when we have confidence in God and our hearts are clean, they're pure through forgiveness, we have a pure heart. We have a fresh start, a new start. We have confidence in the God of all mankind, Father God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can receive from him whatever we ask. Imagine, God's telling us to start with a fresh, clean heart through confession, through reconciliation, through honesty and sincerity. God's calling us to do that and then have confidence that God will provide and give us whatever we ask. This is the word of God that's telling us this. Concurrently, we have to keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So if we're not keeping his commandments and doing what displeases God, when we ask for something, we're not going to get it, my friends. You and I will not receive. Even though he says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. But here the scripture says, if our hearts don't condemn us. So if your heart is condemning you for what you've done wrong, you've done what the Lord says not to do, what God says not to do in those commandments, he's not going to give us what we ask for. We need to get clean once again and purified. We need to be, you know, absolutely honest. And there's nothing we can hide from the Lord. Again, God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. Whatever it is that we know, he knows it. We can hide nothing from it. It's impossible. Because he is greater than our hearts. And he is our creator. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. It's very powerful. So if we get condemned in the heart, the Spirit is condemning us. Okay, but if we are clean, again, we have confidence in God. And we can receive from him whatever we ask because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. We're pleasing God. We're not displeasing him. Very important, my friends, because many people pray, especially in working with inmates in prison. There's a time of correction. There's a dwell period. You can pray for years and not get what you want because you're not upholding God's commandments. But for the men who actually are doing it, and they have been punished, but now they have made changes and it's putting a smile on God's face. They're upholding his commandments. They're pleasing him. God will bless them and give them the things that they want. Simple things to go home from prison, to have an apartment of your own, to have air conditioning, to have a green lawn outside of your apartment or your home, to have space and privacy, to have a vehicle, to no longer be sleeping in a bunk bed with someone you don't know underneath you or over the top. It's important. And God will bless you with your freedom once again. He will bless you with a woman that you always wanted, someone who's right for you, or a man that you've been looking for your whole life, Mr. Right. So he will bring people together who are like-minded, and he will design a life for you better than you or I could design it. It's very powerful. But we have to uphold his commandments and do what he pleases after we admit whatever it is that occurred. Many years ago, there was a gentleman in the Wings program who basically stated that he was involved in a trespass and a burglary and that he had no weapon. And that's what he testified to. However, there was a video that showed him dropping a weapon into the bushes. And because he was not honest and he lied about it, that cost him 4 to 7 years. And that's the way it works in court. Perjury, lying under oath is a very serious event. And I encourage honesty and sincerity and respect and accountability, reliability, and trust in the Wings program. But this is important. In the reading from 1 John, it goes on to say this. His commandment is this, that we should believe in his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. So that's his great message in this reading, that we should believe in Jesus and love one another just as Jesus commanded us to do. And, you know, we can believe in Jesus and not love one another. We've got to do them both. It's very hard sometimes to love other people. We've all been there. It's hard because of disagreements and different positions politically, different ideas and different goals and dreams. And people can have differences creating separation and isolation and a disunity, and people can go astray. But God calls us to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us to do. And that's the second greatest commandment, my friends, to love one another. And God calls us to do it every day, not 6 days out of seven, but seven out of seven. He calls us to do it in our families, our friendships, people we don't even know, to offer, you know, kind words versus abrasive words, words that are offensive, and, you know, bringing out the best in you for other people you don't even know, so that your reward in heaven will be greater. God calls us to, you know, invite someone over your home for dinner that you don't even know, so that your reward in heaven is even greater. Okay, someone who can't reciprocate. But I encourage you once again, my friends, to believe in Jesus and to love one another. He calls us to do it. Those who keep His commandments remain in Him and He in them. This is important. So when we're not feeling close to Jesus, we're not feeling close to God, it's because we're living in sin. Truly, we've broken commandments, whatever it is. And there's many of them. Whatever it is that's creating that feeling that God is distant from us. And He calls us to reconciliation, to forgiveness, okay, and to make amends, to not offend God, but to please God, okay? And He wants us to remain in Him and He in them. So God, who says, keep His commandments, that's essential to remain close to God. And for God to remain close to us. We know, by the way, that He remains in us because of the Spirit that He gave to us. And the Spirit will give us that peace within us. A peace that you and I can't even buy. There's no purchase that we can make that will give us that long-lasting peace. People are looking for it everywhere, but they are ignoring their Creator. And there's no way you're going to find the same peace. You can go shopping every day for 30 days and still not have the peace. You might enjoy shopping and have things, but you're still empty inside. Spiritually, you're empty inside because you haven't taken the time to get to know your Creator, to honor, praise, and glorify your Creator who gives you the breath of life. It's powerful. It gives you good health, a great family, a home to come home to with peace and love inside. Not a house, but a home. A lot of people buy houses. But a home is different. We have love inside a home. And that love is given to people who come into that home. We love one another. We share it with each other. Hard to do sometimes, but that's the calling. It takes great humility amongst people, men and women, to put their egos and differences aside and to step up to the plate and deliver love, the love of God for other people. God calls us to do it. Very important. I want to transition now, my friends, to our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And here it is. Jesus says to His disciples, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does He prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in Me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, my friends, the Lord tells us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. This is a powerful concept, and the Lord makes the analogy of the tree, the branches. He says, he takes away every branch that does not bear fruit. So if not, we're not creating good fruit, that's a problem in the eyes of the Lord. Because just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. But my friends, if you go down to Philadelphia to the 9th Street Market, where you see all the fruit and vegetables on the stands, as you walk through, you'll see good fruit and bad fruit. You'll see signs of oranges, apples, tangerines, peppers, onions. You won't see any signs that say good fruit or bad fruit. We will know the bad fruit. And in life, the Lord calls us to bear great fruit, to do good things with our time, our talents, our treasure, to make a difference in life, to make an impact on other people. And God calls us to do it. And he says, you know, whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. So for the people out there who are without the Lord, who believe that they are God, they are doing everything on their own, it's only temporary, my friends, because the Lord says, whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. And this is an important message for us as believers, because the Lord calls us to do incredible things for him. We are his arms, his legs. We can do many things to help other people. Reminds me of Mother Teresa, who started the Missionaries of Charity. You know, a young nun who was discontent in a convent with her sisters. She needed to do more. She had a heart to do more, and she asked permission to leave, even though she had everything set for her life. It wasn't enough. She needed more. God was calling her to leave, and she did. And for several years, she got herself established on the streets and basically helping children. She got a few desks and chairs and started to teach the kids. And basically, you know, she formed a nonprofit organization, the Missionaries of Charity. You know, someone had donated a car to her, and she raffled it off and took in about $100,000 and used that money to open up her first home for the Missionaries of Charity. And her focus, her mission, was to take care of the AIDS victims and the homeless, to help people to die with dignity or to clean them up and get them well again, to give them clean sheets, to lift them up off of the street, off of the gutter, and taking care of the homeless, the people who are not clean, who don't smell well. Our St. Mother Teresa, who was a tremendous inspiration to me when we formed my father's vineyard in May of 2001, did a tremendous job of opening up more than 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims. And before she died, she had more than 2,000 women working for her. And this is an example of how, you know, a woman who leaves a convent because she's discontent has a heart to do more. How this woman who was remaining in Jesus and Jesus in her will bear much fruit. And she did, opening up more than 500 homes to help people. And she had the Lord, and she had humility, and she had the Word of God on the tip of her tongue. She had the peace of God ready to be handed over to the people that she met. And she brought people the love of God, a very unique and special woman rooted in God's love, who helped to bring, you know, peace and love to other people who had AIDS and who were homeless. And she did many other things, but that was her mission. You know, the AIDS people who, and homeless people, people don't want to touch. They don't want to get infected. It's not a territory that they want to get involved with. It's kind of like prison work. It's a hard thing because it's an abrasive place. It has an odor to it. Actually, it's a disinfectant odor because they're always cleaning in the prison. It's actually very clean in there. And I just tell you that Mother Teresa is a role model for all of us as a woman who stayed connected to our Lord. And not that there won't be times when, you know, you feel that the Lord is not there. They call it the dark night of the soul. When you want the Lord to be close, but you're wondering, where are you, Lord? Many of the saints experience that, and we can all. And it's in those times that we just have to keep doing what the Lord calls us to do, which is to keep his commandments, remain in him in prayer, okay, to be obedient, to please him, and just keep doing it, and the Lord will arrive on the scene in his own way and in his own time, in his own beautiful, magical way that God has the ability to provide to us. He loves to surprise us. We're a people who want to figure everything out, but the Lord loves to surprise us. So I just talk a little bit about Mother Teresa here, my friends, as a role model for achieving great things, bearing much fruit to help people. And the word in the Gospel of John says this: anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire. So we want to remain in our relationship with Jesus. We want to bear great fruit. And if we're not doing that, we have to recognize that we have to make changes because God calls us to it. It's something he asks us to do. All right? He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. And the God is, you know, God is so good that he's rewarding us for remaining in him and his words remaining in us, to being faithful, to be men and women of our word. You know, they used to say a man's word is his bond. You know, today we have contracts. It used to be a handshake. You know, it's like your handshake was the contract. But today we have lawyers everywhere, and God is the same as he was yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. And he calls us again to this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. So God wants to do more for us, But he wants us to uphold those commandments. He wants us to, you know, be honorable men and women, and to not be deceitful, dishonorable, disrespectful, insincere, dishonest. He calls us to be, you know, the best that we can. He says, strive to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We never get there, but we're working on it. We're working on it every day to be better and better children of God, a better son to my mother, a better daughter to my mother. I want to be the best that I can be. And that's what we need to strive for, because the Lord tells us to do it. Strive to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Father is the great role model for us, my friends, and the Lord wants us to be perfect as our heavenly Father is perfect. And when the Lord does things for us, it's a beautiful thing. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So in telling the story of how God worked in your life, like St. Paul, who changed his life and wrote 13 books of the Bible, like Mother Teresa, who opened up 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims, helping a lot of people, we glorify our Father in heaven. We're bearing much fruit. One of the great goals, it's not just about me living here on the earth. It's about what we can do for other people to help build the kingdom of God. God calls us to help others. Whatever you do, my friends, for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. And God calls us to it. Okay, wherever your work is, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you've done it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will remember that. Again, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and that you become my disciples, my followers, my faithful believers. God calls us to become a disciple. Okay? And I encourage you, my friends, to give your very best to the Lord today, as we are now in the fifth week of Easter. What have you learned from this year's challenges? What have you learned from the changes you've made? What wisdom have you gained? Let us go forth today and give the Lord the very, very best that you and I have as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. May God bless you, and may He keep you, and may He give your children and your family the desires of your hearts. Have a great day. God bless. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio in Finding God in Prison. God bless.